of those two girls, catch up.
Hi.
Okay.
Some great stuff in this week's Aldi catalogue.
That's what you're going to say, the show.
This could be a regular Monday thing. Special buys. Do you want me to talk you through? There's a lot of home training, gym equipment, leggings, all of that. That massager.
Is this a sponsorship?
No, it's not. I bloody wish.
Is Liz undercutting the team?
I'm not undercutting anyone. I spend my hard-earned money at
Aldi. I don't need another pair of leggings in my life.
I know.
I feel like I streamline my exercise gear. And then it creeps up, and I don't exercise anywhere near as much to warrant the volume.
There's also a lot of outdoor stuff. A really big storage box that I'm personally looking at buying.
Yeah, I got one of those last $50 round.
$50. Is it good?
Yeah, it keeps all the noodles in it.
Is it
the
large?
Goggles. Yeah, it's decent.
And it's not cracking in the sun
exposure? No.
$50 did you pay for it?
I think I paid more.
Does it come assembled?
But you just clip it together.
I am keen. I'm going to send Dane.
This sounds like a commercial.
No, I'm sorry.
I swear to God,
it sounds like a commercial.
Does it crack under the sun?
I'll tell you what you can do, though. You can send this little sound grab to Aldi.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, Liz and I are both trying to be bigger readers.
Start with magazines.
I'm working on Untamed by Glennon Doyle. And Liz is on the Aldi catalogue.
Well, I'm on the Aldi catalogue, but I'm also on the Trauma Cleaner, which is phenomenal.
Still.
Yeah, I know. I just have no bloody time to read. I'm too invested in an Amazon Prime series at the moment. I'm just deep.
Which one?
It's so good. Transparent.
Okay.
It is just so. I was just saying to Jace earlier before we started the show that it's one of those series where I'm already grieving the loss of the characters when the series comes to an end
because
the character development is so good. I feel so intimately familiar with them that I just can't imagine my life when this series is over.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Are they multiple seasons?
Yes.
Or?
So I think there are either four or six. I'm praying there's six.
Liz is always on the money, so she's always ahead of the game with me in season. So if she says it's good,
this is an older series. Like apparently it was huge.
Are you binging?
I'm binging because here's the great thing about Transparent: 30-minute episodes.
Oh yeah.
So you can binge several.
But you know what the problem is? When you binge, it ends so quickly.
I know,
you remember back in the day, you used to watch every week, one episode a week, and you couldn't wait for that day because you get to watch that episode. Now you finish a whole season in a weekend.
I can't wait for the hour.
Well, if you want to dip your toe into a four-episode season, I think I mentioned it last week. It's on Stan called The Deceived.
Four episodes.
Well, it's just four parts, really.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Is it?
Yep.
Is that all it is?
It's a British-Irish. Yep, four.
Yeah, I really want to watch that.
It's like a psychological
It's like a lover, a jilted lover sort of.
Yeah, but it's good.
Like stalker type thing?
Yeah, it's good. And I think it has a bit of a cliffhanger, so there could be a season two.
Okay, cool.
I'm down for that too.
Yeah, which is why I'm not getting through the Trauma Cleaner because it's so riveting.
I mean, don't you have that out from the library? Surely you've got
to extend it.
Yeah.
Is there still late fees on library cards and stuff?
Yeah, they're minimal though.
There are, but if you wait until the end of the year and bring in a tin of condensed milk, they'll wipe your whole fees. late fees. Well, they do in Brisbane anyway.
Sarah, is that even true?
Yeah.
Do you remember the old library cards when it was just a piece of paper with a name written on it?
Yes.
Yeah. And like
typed out on like that DOS.
One?
What is it?
MS-DOS.
MS-DOS. Yes. Oh, my God. How old are we?
Remember when you'd put your assignment and you'd have to tear off the perforated edges?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Paper. That was so satisfying. I actually miss doing
that.
But
so stressful.
I actually miss doing that.
All right. Well, look.
Here's the show. At the other end of it, we're going to play another round of That's So 90s.
Yeah.
Also, epic interview.
Oh, my God.
With Dylan Howard in this episode. Also, you get the full episode, the full chat
it's
with
separate
him.
Separate to this one.
In a separate episode. Just look for it.
Yeah, it's
It'll
really
just
different.
Come
we normally
your
just try and keep things pretty light and fluffy, but
yeah,
this
but
is
this
big.
Was groundbreaking
it's really
stuff.
Interesting.
Are we worried?
Well, we had to get, look, we'll tell you this much if this hooks you to go take a listen. We had to run this entire interview through legal.
Yeah.
That's how
It's big.
Intense what he says is. He's written a book about it, everything. He's pretty full on. We asked about if he fears for his own safety following what he uncovers. So definitely worth a listen. We urge you.
Mm. Yeah.
There okay, here's the show. Those two
girls. Morning.
Good morning. Happy Monday.
Lisa just had a mad rush to put her headphones on. That's the kind of preparation
we have. Sorry.
Didn't realise we're on, huh?
Not really. It's sort of crept up on me, this 5 a.m. time slot.
Hey, can we please do our thing where we try and get the week off to a good start by testing if the phone lines are working? They've been down over the weekend, of course. 131060 is the number. We want you to give us your biggest cooey. That's right. That's how it's done, loud
and
shrill.
And we really depend on your vibe to set the tone for how we're going to sound all week. I have done a bit of research, though, guys. The word cooey originates from the original inhabitants of the Sydney area. It means come here.
Huh?
Come here, and has become widely used in Australia as a call over distances. So this is perfect.
But the thing is, I feel like it was widely used, but now we're almost bringing it back every Monday morning, aren't we?
I feel we are.
13 10 60, call us right now. Jace is going to pick you up. Ask you to just shout one thing down the line.
It's easy.
It's so easy.
We don't ask a lot of you.
No, just yell at us on a Monday morning.
We got someone here.
Okay. Great.
Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
Yeah, Jerry.
Jerry?
Yeah, ringing up, long time listener, first time caller.
Oh, welcome, Jerry.
Jerry. Can you give us a cooey?
Yep, all right. Okay. Ready?
Ready.
Yep. Cooey.
Yeah. Oh, Jerry, I mean, a little underwhelming.
There's the vibe for the week.
That's the vibe?
Do you want one more really quickly?
One more.
Okay.
Make it good. Give it some grunt.
Make it loud.
Number ending in 710.
All right, who's this?
Tanya.
Tanya. Go, Tanya.
How are you?
Good.
Give us a
7 seconds.
Give us a cooey.
Oh, yes,
it.
Girl.
We're pumped.
Yes,
we're
girl.
Pumped.
We still love
Thanks
you, Jerry.
To Tanya.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Remember a few weeks ago when I said my eldest daughter, who's turning 10 next year, has already requested a 3D printer for her birthday?
And I mean, they're very advanced pieces of technology. They can't be that simple to operate.
I've nipped it in the bud, but I think they are becoming more commonplace. Now, I was flicking through the paper yesterday and I saw an article about an obstetrician who is using a 3D printer to print out babies' faces for their parents.
Oh, what?
Like,
what?
Is this the new version of a scan?
Yes.
Oh,
yep.
He said, I don't know if I like
he
that.
Does he does it at no extra cost, and he was scanning one of the mums and said, this is a great angle for Bub's face. I've got a 3D printer. How about I just print it out for you? And the mum said, yep, this is great. She's got two other kids, 3 and 2. And she's like, this is a great way for the kids to be involved in the baby.
Just the head
tongue.
Of a baby.
Yeah.
You bring home
I mean, it seems, I don't know if.
So, what does it
a paperweight that I'd like.
What does it come out as? Like, is it what sort of.
Baby's face.
I know, but what sort of. Is it. What is
the
material? Is it plastic?
Scans are never great anyway. Yeah. I mean, this one, the picture in the paper is.
Can we put it up on our Instagram at
like
Liz and red, Sarah?
Like a printed red.
Oh, that's horrific.
Yeah.
Nobody needs that.
Well, yeah. I mean, it got me thinking, though, what have other people printed on a 3D printer? Can you beat a baby's
I'm
face?
Intrigued. I am intrigued because I just think, what do people do with that?
Yeah.
I know that at my son's school, the boys that do, what's it called, like manual arts, woodwork.
Yeah.
Well, the new fancy version of woodwork is like bloody digital printing or whatever. And they printed off little parts for ventilators when Corona was at its first peak.
At school.
So, yes, at school. So that was actually a very worthwhile endeavour.
That's amazing.
They partnered with a local hospital and they were like, what do you need? We can print it. We're only 16, but we can print it.
Wow.
And they did. And that I thought was phenomenal. But I would like stupid things that people have printed on a 3D printer.
Well, that's just it. I mean, I'm looking at you there. You've got the Aldi catalogue in front of you.
I really do.
Maybe there are some products that you could just be like, you know what, I can print that myself.
Look, I'm looking at page 9 of the current Aldi catalogue and I'm telling you, I'm very intrigued with the garden statue of the gecko.
Okay.
A little thing that you can put up on a wall. Beautiful.
I don't think a 3D printer is something a lot of people would have.
Well, I don't think so either, but...
Well,
you know, we have interesting people who call this show, Jason. Lazy Jace, do not pass judgment.
They don't need those sledges from you at this hour of the morning. Maybe they've got more than the HP inkjet that we have in our home office.
Sarah, don't lie. We don't have printers. We use the work printer.
That's
everybody
true.
Knows
That's
that.
True. When will this work get a 3D printer
so we can partake? 60. What have you printed on a 3D printer? Give us a call.
All right. Well, let's go to Ed in Melbourne. Morning, Ed.
Morning, ladies. How you doing?
Good, good. Now, a 3D printer is a very specific item to have. What made you take the leap and get one?
It was something I was, just as I was growing up and seeing, and it was very cool, the idea that I could just design something and print it out and have a physical model.
How much did it set you back? Because I've just done a quick Google search here, and they're not cheap.
Mine was about $1,000, but you can start at around $250 for a decent printer.
Okay. Is it hard? I mean, the actual process of printing, it must be hard to get the blueprints and, you know, the design.
There's websites like Thingiverse that have some pretty cool models that are pre-made and you just basically hit print on them.
All right, so here's the million-dollar question.
I'm guessing you've done something pretty amazing with
what
yours.
What did you print on your 3D printer, Ed?
Well, I've printed things like the ear savers for like hospitals and things like that. But the oddest thing I've printed is seeing the nicest way I put it is called a Wangosaurus.
What?
Which is basically a dinosaur with a men's genitalia as a head.
Hold on. So you've got a prehistoric apex predator with a doodle on its head? Why?
just because that's the beauty of a 3D printer. It's literally you can print out whatever you want.
I mean, so Ed, you said you had a hankering for a 3D printer since you were a teenager, and this is what you do? This is what you do? It's a genitalia T-Rex?
It's definitely not what I thought I'd be printing with it, but it made for a really good trophy to pass on to anyone who's a bit of a D-head, so.
So, Ed, how long did it take you to print it? Because I'm in the market for two Wangosauruses.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up. This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Folks, bit of a different slant for us this morning. On the line, we have a bloke named Dylan Howard. Now, you may not know him, but everyone in Hollywood possibly views him as the most feared journo because he's written quite the expose on Jeffrey Epstein. His new book is called Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Now, I'm no doctor, but from a biological perspective, I know that to be true. Now, you are well and truly known for your investigations into very, very high-profile people, and you have got some juice on the whole Jeffrey Epstein saga, of course, the American financier, convicted sex offender who died in his jail cell under an apparent suicide last year. Tell us what you can give us in your book.
In Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales, as conspiratorial as this may well sound, you have to understand who Jeffrey Epstein was. He was a complex, damaged, and controlling individual who exploited and took the innocence of many young women as a result of his globe-trotting pedophile scheme. But he also used his power to cover his tracks with the innermost circles of society. He would trap the rich and famous, and he would trade that dirt with some of the world's most secretive intelligence agencies.
I mean, this is huge.
In short, Epstein was a spy and he was running a classic honey trap operation for the purpose of blackmailing powerful individuals and politicians in the United States and abroad.
So who would have approached him to become a spy, to gather this intelligence? How would that have started?
You have to understand Ghislaine Maxwell and his connection to her. Ghislaine Maxwell's father was Robert Maxwell, who died in mysterious circumstances off the back of a boat in the British Virgin Islands. He was a known Israeli Mossad spy. And in Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales, I speak with his spy handler, a guy by the name of Ari Ben-Mashani, who now lives in Canada, who says that the business of spying, if you like, was turned over to Epstein and Maxwell in a face-to-face meeting in the late 1980s, And from that moment on, Epstein and Maxwell ran this sex trafficking ring.
That's the solution they came up with in order to get the dirt they needed from very powerful people.
It's a tactic that's been used for five decades from intelligence organisations all around the world, including the CIA here in the United States. What they would do, according to sources that I spoke to, is that there would be a gathering of a group of people. They would invite rich and powerful men, and there would be above-age women, and then they would seed that group with underage women, and those women were told, target person X. Person X would end up in bed with the underage woman, and it was all being recorded. Now, I'm one of the few people or few journalists that have seen inside Jeffrey Epstein's Manhattan mansion. When I say I've been inside, let me just clarify, I've only seen photos inside. But what I saw is cameras in every single room. And then there is a central room with all these screens where everything's fed back into, and Xerox, industrial-sized Xerox machines that were printing off these photographs and recording these videos for the purposes of then giving it to an overseas country who would then go back to the powerful person and say, hey, we've got this on you. We need to convert you into a source. You need to start telling us information.
Right. So we get our heads around that. Epstein's Epstein's dead. Now it all rests with Ghislaine. What is going to happen with Ghislaine?
The feds right now, at this very moment, are putting the squeeze on her. They have built up an unimpeachable case against her through dozens of witnesses that place Ghislaine firmly up the proverbial creek without a paddle.
And where does this leave her in terms of her safety? Because obviously...
There's a big fat question mark over what happened to Epstein in his jail cell.
What happened to Jeffrey, and is this likely to be Ghislaine's fate as well?
The fact of the matter is she ought to be, if she is not, the most watched prisoner in the United States. We know that she is on suicide watch, and being on suicide watch necessitates that you're not given clothing, so she's wearing paper as clothing. It's, you know, one of those situations where there has to be eyes on her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because not only might she consider committing suicide, there might be people that want her to die. I want to throw one thing at you. Now, when Ghislaine Maxwell appeared in court, it was revealed by the prosecutor that she was married. We don't know who she's married to. There are no records of this secret union, no date, nothing. And I have no evidence of this, but I'm going to pose a big what if. What if Ghislaine's secret husband is none other than Jeffrey Epstein himself, and the pair wed before his suicide? Now, as conspiratorial as that might sound, guess what? That would be the ultimate and unforeseen get-out-of-free-jail card for Ghislaine.
Why does that protect her if she's his wife?
Because spousal privilege exists between a husband and a wife. And remarkably, under United States law, it's not terminated by death. So,
meaning she wouldn't have to reveal anything out within that spousal privilege.
Correct. And the state or the feds could not introduce any evidence between husband and wife. So any emails, any handwritten notes, any phone correspondence, any phone logs, that would all be considered inadmissible in court because of spousal privilege.
It seems to be a massive flaw in the legal system.
Am I allowed to ask a question about Prince Andrew?
Yeah.
You can ask whatever you like.
Okay. What's the go with his part in this entire scandal?
The reality is that he's a rat of a royal who is so far up that proverbial creek that I mentioned earlier, it's irretrievable for him to ever be a good standing member of the monarchy. She, Ghislaine, does not want to tell all on Prince Andrew. In fact, they remain friends, and it was her that introduced him to Jeffrey Epstein. If there is one big winner in this Jeffrey Epstein scandal, it is Prince Andrew. Through the arrest of Ghislaine Maxwell, the government now has its prize piece. And I don't think the government's likely to go after any of the other people that could be implicated in this. And they've all also kind of said so. They've said that there will be no superseding indictment on Maxwell. That means no more charges. And they don't plan on prosecuting anyone else associated with the sex trafficking ring. So that's a huge win for Prince Andrew. They were able to build their Maxwell case, who was their prime target, without his evidence.
Do you ever worry for your own safety? Because you're digging up really incriminating stuff. I mean, you know, never before seen court files, interviews. People should be scared of you. Have you ever felt at risk?
I'll just say this. If I end up dead, it's because I've got the story right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Dylan.
Can't you come back to Geelong?
I mean, it's safer there. I mean, they're in lockdown, you know.
Yeah, who would want to go to Victoria?
Yeah, true. We will put all of the information on where you can find Dylan's books in the show notes, mm-hmm. because there's a lot there. And what's the name of the new one? Jeffrey and Ghislaine Inc.?
Epstein and Maxwell.
Close.
Okay.
We'll give you the full point.
Dylan, thank you so much for giving us this information. It is fascinating to hear your intel, and can we talk to you again? Can we talk to you again
of
when
course,
the next book comes
time.
Out?
We'd love that.
Anytime.
Right. Okay. Good night over there.
Good night.
If you want more juicy goss on Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, our full chat with Dylan Howard up on our podcast right now on your app. This is Those Two Girls.
That's right. Now, I went into a shop. I saw a trivia game and I bought it. And now we're going to play it. It's called That's So 90s.
I mean, I was just going to say we were in our peak of that in the 90s.
Yeah, weren't we all? Weren't we all?
Yeah, I think we really were. All right, what how happened? Do we play this thing? I don't know. It's just a sweeping statement.
Okay. Well, the way this game works is your name is your buzzer. It's best of five.
Okay.
We've got a bunch of categories, and we're going to go. The last week's winner gets to choose the category for this week.
Okay. I won last week.
Sarah, you won, so I'm going to give you a few categories to pick from right now.
Okay.
You have news and politics. You have art and literature. Mm. Or you had Who Said or Sang That?
Well, look, I'll make this a fair playing field for Lee, so let's do Who Said or Sang That.
Okay.
All right.
I'm down.
Remember, name is your buzzer.
Yeah.
Here we go. Who Said or Sang That? That'll do, pig. That'll do.
Farmer Hoggett, babe.
Lise, you have to say your name
Sarah.
Is your buzzer.
Lise?
No. Farmer Hoggett, babe.
Do we have to do the name as buzzer?
You do. In this particular game, you do.
Okay.
It was actually on TV the other day.
It really was.
Yeah. I watched it.
I mean, is there nothing Magda Szubanski can't do? Can I just say?
Did either of you stop eating pork products?
Absolutely not. No. Ate more, if anything.
Mm. No, I loved pigs more.
Mm. Okay, who said or sang that? Show me the money!
Lee, Sarah. Oh, why did I say your name? my dream.
Tom Cruise in Jerry Maguire.
I don't want actor name.
Well, Jerry Maguire in Jerry Maguire. What?
Sarah, Cuba Gooding Jr. in Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, they both say it. Hold on. They both say it. So
no.
Mine would...
Rodney Rod Tidwell in Jerry Maguire.
But then Tom Cruise also says it.
I'm just reading the cards.
Okay, all right. Well...
Surely that deserves a half.
No one gets a point.
That was such an annoying movie.
1-0.
You had me at hello.
Complete me.
Who said or sang that? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
What?
I knew you guys would struggle with this one.
Okay. It means that it's a movie that Jace has seen, which means it's not a movie that we have.
You would have seen it.
Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be Goodwill Hunting?
Nope. Lise, you can.
Is it in an accent? Is there an accent with it?
It's a female voice.
I'm sorry. Have you?
Is it American?
It is American.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your Sarah?
I don't know if you can buzz in.
Reese Witherspoon, Legally Blonde?
Nope.
No.
Jules Winfield, Pulp Fiction.
Oh, no, I never saw that movie.
I've seen it, but...
Yeah. Here we go.
Okay.
This is, Liz, if you get this, you win.
Okay.
I'm not putting pressure on.
Jeez.
Okay. Dream Lover, Come Rescue Me.
Liz! Sarah. Mariah Carey.
Hang on, who got in there?
I said Liz.
I said Sarah.
Jason.
Liz was in first.
Oh. I'm sure it was.
Can I have that answer one more time?
It's Mariah Carey in Dream Lover, Come Rescue Me. It's a song of the 90s.
That's it. Next week, I'm not choosing a category
Sarah,
thinking of you.
It's when she hits that high note at the beginning of that song, guys. So high that the word on the street back in the 90s is that it could either A, open garage doors, or B, make dogs howl.
Not true.
It is. That was a garage door.
They
were the rumours in grade 7.
All right.
Okay?
Well, let's do an experiment.
High-pitched
let's go
sound.
To a 90s garage door. Because I know the only thing opening them was me when Mum said, get out of the car. And you'd have to twist the handle and pull the thing up.
No.
And
it's
play
the automated
Mariah.
Ones, obviously.
Well, Liz gets to choose the topic next
what
week.
What will it be? What will it be? I'll pick something that Sarah won't get.
Yeah, I'll never do that again. Ever. News and politics next time.
All right, we're out.
Bye.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
We're good?
All right,
we're good.
Category. Can you read me out the categories, please, again for the round two?
Do you want all of the categories or do you just want me to pick ones that I think you guys would go
just
for?
Just pick ones.
Okay. Music, movies, hobbies, toys and games, sport, TV, pop culture, science.
Let's
and
go
technology.
TV. Let's go TV. Yeah,
okay.
Because TV was all we watched back then. There was nothing else.
pad for a little while I find the right card.
Okay.
You know, there was another game in this that was that so 80s.
I mean, could be a bit of fun, except I just don't think we'd
just
have
don't know.
That.
I think that's for the next generation. I think that's for people who are.
Yeah. Who were in their 50, 20s yeah. in, when they were in the 80s.
Yeah. That's how I feel too. 45 to 50, I'd say.
Yeah, possibly.
All right, okay, I got the card. Sure.
Okay.
Television. Mm-hmm. Name is your buzzer. There's probably no winner out of the podcast episode version, but that's okay. Here we go. In 1994... which former Star Trek captain played the murderer in an episode of Columbo?
We don't know that.
I never watched Star Trek.
Pass. A very, very popular actor.
Okay, Harrison Ford.
No, that's Star Wars, Sarah. No, the guy who played Star Trek, I just won't remember his name. I think he passed away recently.
He was in Miss Congeniality.
Yes.
William Shatner.
Okay. Oh, she got it.
Didn't say your name before.
Sarah, sorry. This whole name business is ridiculous.
Sometimes
I love hitting you up on technicalities.
No.
All right. As a teenager, James Van Der Beek had the lead
Sarah,
role in which drama?
Dawson's Creek.
Oh, Liz, I don't want to wait for a night to be over. I want to know
that show,
right now.
That show shit me to tears.
I loved it.
It was so annoying.
It's on Stan, the entire thing.
Katie Holmes always spoke out of one corner of her mouth. No. He was always crying.
Who sung that?
I don't want to wait. I don't know. It was one hit.
Paula Cole? Is that it?
So open up that morning light. Say a little prayer for I. You know that if we are to stay alive, then I'm in the Lord.
Next question.
I don't want to wait.
In the fast show.
Okay, I don't know that
sketch. Song. Channel 9. According to the weather segment, how hot was it?
Too hot to handle, Liz. I don't even know what
that is.
Is this an Australian thing?
Is this an Australian game?
Is this Australian?
I mean, I heard you say Australian three times, but...
If they're saying Channel 9, surely it must be.
Does America have a Channel 9?
I don't know.
Anyway, the answer was 45 degrees or scorchio.
No, I've never heard that before in my life.
Scorchio?
And I feel like it would have been something that we adopted living in Queensland. Everyone
scorchio.
Would have gone scorchio.
Oh, it's bloody scorchio out
here.
Look, I'm glad you read that question out because we've
There was a little bit of banter that came with it.
A little bit of a word there for summer.
Okay. Which character in South Park wears a hood that covers most of his face? Sarah's in.
Do you know his name,
though? Kenny.
You're getting belted, Lee.
Oh, yeah, I really am.
TV's not your strong suit, huh?
I was too busy reading
that
and studying.
Show was so
I thought you. I was too busy modelling overseas. So.
Not then. Not no. Those were the back brace years.
Okay. There should have been a lot of TV watching.
Yeah, I was sitting in my room.
Too much TV
in
watching. That's where the back brace came from. Anyway.
Okay.
Last question.
All right.
I mean, Sarah, you've already won. What magical item did Bernard use to stop time?
Bernard?
What magical item?
Bernard
Fanning. He used a guitar.
To stop time.
What is this?
Is this in
like
The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe or something like that?
No, it doesn't
It doesn't give any context
okay,
of where it's
from. Okay,
ask
another one. I mean, who the hell is Bernard?
Now I've got to find a... Do you know how many...
I have a cousin named Bernard.
I've heard of dogs named Bernard. Saint Bernard.
Okay. I've got five more questions.
Oh, my
okay,
God.
Okay, let's do it.
What was the surname of Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Oh, who knows? Oh,
did she have
one? I wasn't really into that.
When you hear it, you'll go, oh, yeah.
Sabrina
what? Sabrina...
Smith. Lou Smith.
I don't know. I never
Spellman.
Watched that show.
Spellman.
I thought that show was so lame.
Yeah, I never was into it either.
Yeah, it really was.
I don't like anything with canned laughter other than Happy Days.
Great show. Did you know in Sunday afternoon, not Sunday afternoon, it was weekday afternoons, they used to play a run of like old 90s
yes. MASH, Happy Days.
Happy Days, Cheers.
Yes.
What did the guy from Cheers go and do?
Becca.
Do you know what show I would give my eye teeth to come back on a streaming service so my kids could watch it as well?
Felicity.
Mm-mm. The Wonder Years.
Yeah. Never Although it did have some themes in it, didn't it?
Fred Savage, Winnie Cooper,
Okay.
Loved that show.
It was a lovely show.
Family viewing.
Well, in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, where was The Fresh Prince originally born and raised?
Philadelphia, Lee's Philadelphia.
Any particular part of Philadelphia?
West Philadelphia, born and raised.
Correct.
I knew rap would come in handy one day.
I just remember being
the lyrics of TV
Will
shows.
Will Smith in his heyday. I mean, what he's never not been in his heyday, but I remember being at school disco and be like, boom, shake,
you know
boom.
What scene?
Tick, boom.
In that show, you know when he, when his dad leaves and he's talking about like his dad leaving him not needing his dad around? Have you ever watched that scene?
No.
Okay. There's
before he goes to Bel Air.
No, when he's up in Bel Air and his dad comes and visits and he never sees his dad and his dad never like
pays
calls him on birthdays.
Okay,
like never part of his life. Apparently it's all ad-libbed in the show and Will's calling on his own
experience.
His own childhood. And it is so good when you watch it. Every time I tear up, I'm like,
oh God,
it is so good. It's like, you know how good Will Smith is in emotional movies.
Yes. Mm. What was that one that we...
Collateral Beauty.
What's that one where
Seven Pounds,
with the little boy?
Pursuit of Happiness
is a beautiful movie. Oh, God, that's so good, Sarah.
Go and watch that scene.
As a parent.
I mean, Men in Black gets me every day.
Oh, God.
It's emotional.
Okay, keep going.
Name at least one of Wayne and Waynetta Slob's children from Harry Enfield and Chums.
I've never heard of all of those words you just spoke.
I was
hurt
confident
my brain.
If it came out as Wayne's World.
Me too.
Because I was going to be like, fuck that.
Wasn't even quite sure what I was saying.
Okay. All right.
Sometimes I look at words and
next.
Launched in 1999, The Sopranos was a mobster drama based in which US state?
Lee's.
Yes.
New York.
It's going to have to be New York, isn't it?
It has to be. What? Lee's Chicago.
Oh, wait.
But New York.
No, it says US state. And it's
New York is a state.
It's very close to New York.
I don't know.
What they've said.
Sarah, Washington.
No, I think it's across the river.
New Jersey. Lee's, New Jersey.
Is New Jersey a state?
Indeed it is.
Is it? I didn't know that.
New Jersey.
I thought New Jersey was
Hold
like
on,
a
did you just say a city or a state?
State.
Yeah, it's a state.
Oh, yeah, it is. Jersey-licious. Jersey Shore. Yeah, I should have known that.
Is that where they're from?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. It's not called Jersey because they wear sweaters.
Or eat caramel.
Jersey.
I don't get that
reference. Or they're cows.
Don't get that reference either. Which Teletubby was purple?
Oh, God, Poe. Lee's Poe. Lee's Tiddles.
What
are those stupid names? Lee's, hold on. Tinkly Poo. Tinkles, Tankles.
Was watching In the Night Garden. Wills and I caught that on the TV and we're like, God, remember how we watched that every night for years?
Yes, for years.
Before we sent it. Time for bed.
What was that? Yeah, what was the
Upsy
song?
Daisy. Eagle Peagle.
What does Eagle? Yes, my name is Eagle Peagle. Eagle Peagle, Eagle Wiggle, Wiggle. Yes, my name is Eagle Peagle.
And then Upsy Daisy would like inflate her skirt. Okay, mate.
And then just like whip out of bed out of nowhere. Lazy cow. Can you tell me the names?
Tinky Winky.
Tinky Winky. I should have known that.
That was a stupid show.
So dumb. And
Baby in the Sun.
I've just run through.
Oh, okay. Sweet dreams,
what
children.
Let's go back to In the Night Garden, the two little peg families. Hold on.
They're just Whoever riding trains
come up
around the garden.
With the name of those two families. Hold on. Let me go into my.
I feel like that's almost like a PTSD memory.
No,
that
no,
I've repressed.
It's going to come. There's the blue family, the red family.
Green family.
No, there's only
it was
the
blue
two.
And red, and they were pegs, and they had like eight children. It was like
never seen it.
It was like some kind of.
If I get the first family name, the Wattingers.
That's it.
So there were the Wattingers, the family.
Did the other one start with P?
10 Pontypines.
Pontypines, thank you.
The Wattingers and the Pontypines. Yeah, they have eight children each. There's two families of 10. They live in a tree.
Yeah, they're not in Utah.
They occasionally jump on a train.
Why does that sound familiar?
And the train is both like, is it a huge train or is it a teeny tiny train?
It doesn't go anywhere.
The scale is so weird in that train.
Yeah.
Like they walk up it, but then inside it's cavernous.
Yeah. We bought my eldest daughter an Eagle Peagle toy with the blanket.
Yeah, and then it ended up with my boy. Remember?
Oh,
she hated it.
That's
We've
right.
still got
but
it.
But it used to go off in the middle of the night. So you just be like, Eagle Peagle. I'd go to sleep.
Good times.
Time for bed.
Those big inflatable balloons at the end. What were they called?
Honestly, those kids shows
what
are
were
so
they
trippy.
Called?
Those hot air balloony type things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hold on. God. What about those stupid Tombly boos?
Tombly boos.
They brush their teeth in their weird little tree.
That's right.
I haven't understood
oh my God.
The last 3 minutes of conversation.
The Ninky Nonk and the Pinky
the
Ponk.
The Ninky Nongs. Yes, the Pinky Ponks. Yeah. So hang
no,
on.
That
there was
the train, Sarah.
Oh,
that
the
was
Pinky Ponk train. Hang on. Let's go through the. There was Macapaka, Eagle Piggle, Upsy Daisy. Who's the fourth one?
I'm getting there. How do we not remember this? We do have PTSD from this. Meet the characters. Here we go. Eagle Piggle, Upsy Daisy, Macapaka, the Tombly Boos, the Ponty Pines, the Wattingers, the Hahoos. They're the big balloons. The Ninky Nonk is the crazy ass train. The Pinky Ponk is the blimp.
That's right.
The blimp. Then we've got the Titifers, those crazy birds at the end.
Oh, yes.
And the toucan in the Titifer group. That's when I knew Max would finally go the fuck to sleep. Okay? When the toucan shows its ugly head, it's time for this shit show to end. Get in bed.
I mean,
I'm a good mother.
You couldn't wrap that show up any faster than a parent using it to get your toddler to sleep.
Great show, though. I feel like binging it.
Yeah.
How about that Dylan Howard interview?
Heavy stuff.
There's a full chat. 32 minutes of Dylan Howard
it's
just
good.
Dropping
it's really
bombs.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm friends with some police.
And, oh, Sarah.
And they said it all sounds legit from there. Like, honey traps are very common.
Mm. I mean, that's phenomenal, though.
Yeah.
Still evil.
Evil.
Evil. Because, but also then who is, I mean, obviously Jeffrey Epstein is evil. But the people who come up with the honeypot idea are not great either. And
oh,
I know
no,
they're doing it
are.
Potentially for
all
a
these
greater
innocent
good.
Victims who have no idea that they're part of that.
There's a lot of collateral in that. Yeah. A huge amount of collateral damage. So these, like, you know, what this spy agency or whatever, or the government. It's the government, right?
Wow. Just tone that down
know.
Just there. We don't want to come after us.
The, you know.
The also thing that I find confusing and, you know, trigger warning if this is affecting
triggering.
Anyone. But there's one thing to, I guess, establish a honey trap as an international spy ring. But then why were he and Ghislaine involved in the sex acts? I mean, don't. That's a rhetorical question. Don't.
No, no.
Don't
feel I
you have,
know.
But it's like, why?
Were they though?
100%.
They were. I don't know.
100%. They often like together.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
See, I'm not
so
across
that,
everything
that is
in it.
Something that I
it's
wish
very
that
dark.
I could have.
It's very, very, very dark.
Dylan.
Yes, because he could have, like, provided the locations. You know, obviously he had his mansion in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Then he had his, you know, what were that, the sex lair in the Virgin Islands
yeah.
or whatever, wherever that was. So he could have provided opportunity and location.
Yeah.
And been like the man about town to organize these lavish parties that then descended into debauchery.
Yeah.
But he didn't have to partake.
That's right.
He could
so
have pretended.
He's. I mean, I guess you know what. I guess the question is, he's a pedophile. Like that's what it is, right?
I think,
but it seemed that I find that it's like
yeah,
they're doing
first?
It for the purpose of a spot. Yes,
which came first?
I was reading some of the court documents.
So,
for
but she's twisted
oh,
too.
Ghislaine
I mean,
Maxwell's case.
Mm.
And so there was 2,500 pages
wow.
of testimony and stuff like that. And I read probably 150 of them.
Wow.
And some of the stuff that's in there, I was like, what?
Yeah.
No.
It's like, it's
so,
crazy.
So messed up. And I just think of those poor girls
mm-hmm. that were preyed
that
preyed
were preyed upon mm-hmm. by these two foul
predators.
Humans.
Predators, foul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting
I think his book will be phenomenal.
Story.
If I ever get through the trauma cleaner, which I will.
Wow, I think you're going to have to lift the mood a little. Like, it's heavy, heavy, heavy stuff.
I know. No, he was a great chat, really great chat.
Yeah, very.
And we will check back in with him.
I just couldn't be an investigative journalist.
No, because you really have to confront and ask difficult.
Even working for Tracy Grimshaw on a car.
I would just.
Have
I would
you paid your bills? Why are you not paying your rent? Pay your rent.
Yeah.
Well, it's very confrontational. Like, you can't be afraid of confrontation if you're an investigative journalist.
And just. Oh.
And the knowledge and the intel that you end up getting
but
on people and being prepared
say.
To put it out and
the stuff you can't say.
Yeah.
Like there's surely there's like, because they would have a legal team as well that's like,
hold that.
Let's just relax.
It's a real
but you have to be so quick mentally as well.
But even
you have
like
to
that
be
was
two
similar
steps ahead of that
was,
whomever you're interviewing.
That was similar to that phenomenal expose on, was it Netflix, Athlete A, we spoke about when we spoke to Olivia Vivian. Those investigative journalists that uncovered what the hell was going on in US gymnastics, like the paper trails, the email trails, the charts on, you know, they're like cops, you know, they're drawing links between people. What happened here? Go and look into that. Go open that file. Like you really
I've always
have
wanted
to have
create
that mind.
One of those things
webs,
on the wall where
like,
you put put the string between little
but it's
pins.
Years and years of commitment to one story and going down every single rabbit hole.
You don't even know if it's going to go anywhere.
And you don't know.
So you don't know the final outcome. You're just investigating, but it might not be anything. And you've spent 2 years on it. You're like, oh.
But I think that's the chase, right? That's why they do it, is that you might land on a story that blows up.
Some journalists spend all that time, realize they've wasted 2 years, and then decide decide to make something?
Oh, well, I don't think they can. That wouldn't be being a reporter. You have to report on the truth.
Yeah.
Right? You can't make it. You're not a novelist. You have to report.
I mean,
on fact.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it doesn't. Otherwise, your credibility would go down the shitter.
Defamation in some
yes,
form,
it has
surely.
To be real.
Yeah.
You have to have evidence,
and
I don't have that kind of thorough. You know.
Yeah.
You really couldn't deduce anything. You couldn't be like, oh, for sure, this is what's happened.
Yeah.
You have to be
and
like,
what about the people that try to shut
way.
You down? Like with this Dylan Howard stuff. There's higher up
people
who are trying to shut those investigations down. How do you in your head go, if I continue this, chances are I might die.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the interview, he actually says, like, Prince Andrew will be the biggest winner out of all of this, which is a huge call, but very interesting as to his theories as to why that is the case. So, yeah, it's definitely worth a listen.
Yeah, it really is.
Mm.
All right.
It's up right now.
Okay. Great. Good on you, Jace.
Listen to it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, on that note.
Can we have something a little bit upbeat just to end? Like...
I know, that's it. It makes me nervous
doing
heavy
stuff as
well.
Do you want something else in the Aldi catalogue?
Like, I find it fascinating,
but... Do you want something else in the Aldi catalogue?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
All right.
Sure.
Do we want to go to food stuff?
No. I want the middle aisle specials. What's that on the front page? Is that a boxing...
Yeah, I told you. That's the home train. Do you want to go to a cleaning thing? Look, I can tell you.
I mean, I've got to get my little nephew a christening present. Is there anything in the Aldi catalogue?
What about a tornado cleaning brush?
Aww.
I mean, it's not really a child's present.
Okay. Look, there's kids' books.
Okay. What about that solar-powered lantern you were just looking at?
This is what I'm considering.
What about a lava lamp? A lava lamp's still around.
See, that is
retro.
Such a boy thing.
Girls
love a lava lamp. No, they didn't. Girls' boyfriends had lava
That's
lamps.
That's true. I never had a lava
they
lamp.
Were
it's
cool.
such.
But
a
do you know what I did love? Is those globes
thing.
That you could touch the side of
the
and then the electricity.
Had one of those as well.
Yeah, they were cool.
Yes.
They were cool. That they were all in a shop in Bundy called Nature's Emporium. So they had those static globes, the lava lamp, and then they had the 3D magic eyes where you'd have to stand in front of them, go cross-eyed. Step back until
you were like,
oh, my God, it's a panda in bamboo. Yeah. I can see it. Whatever happened to magic eyes? Whatever happened?
I once was so frustrated with a magic eye that I cried because my sister could see it, and there's nothing worse than when one person can
really
see it.
Did she really see it or did she just tell you
it's such a power trip.
It just you either see it or you don't immediately, and the faster one person sees it, the slower the other one will see it, guaranteed. There is no even.
Listen to Hamish and Andy's podcast, their power moves.
No, what'd they say?
Well, it's a power move. Like, that would be one if you
immediately
saw it.
Yeah, it's like a weird flex. Yeah.
Like, oh, I see it. Yeah, it's easy.
And yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. But everyone looked like it. And nobody was afraid to look like a fool then because there was no social media. So honestly, I mean, it was almost entertainment on a Saturday morning. Let's go in and see what magic eyes are out. And then, you know, you have the three little hall sisters. Move away.
I see it.
Sarah is.
I see it.
It's
cross-eyed.
It's Mickey Mouse and Pluto.
These days, everyone would be too afraid to do that because they get filmed up on social. How embarrassing. Can't get away with anything.
Do not put that up as a video.
I can't go cross-eyed because it makes it's similar to my fear of.
Oh, another fear.
Of,
here we go.
Why coat hangers stuck in your tear duct?
I can do one eye out too.
Do not.
Yeah,
Sarah, that's
like,
a terrible bloody idea, I tell you.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get
can
stuck
do it
like
manually.
That. You're going to get stuck like that, and then I'm going to have to explain it to people.
You can move each eye separately.
Yes.
She's like a chameleon.
Is that like.
Like
you know when people are double jointed and they can flick out their bones
yes.
and stuff? You can do that with your eyes.
Mm. Guys, I'm going to the printer. Bye.
Crazy.
All right, I'll watch you go. All right, on that note, bye.
Tickety-boo, off she goes home.
That's it for today's Those Two Girls catch-up. But you can score even more catch-ups just like this one. Download the Hit app and keep up with the girls on Facebook and Instagram.